Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What are the secrets to success for a first-time manager? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, and it's Monday, which means it's time for another show highlighting manager tips, tools, and rules. Today, we're going to talk about the key difference between being an individual contributor and a manager and what you should do in your first 90 days as a manager. But first, have you told all of your manager friends, maybe all of your manager direct reports, about LeadX.org? That's .org. Every day we offer a free training course, video-based training, on topics like how to give feedback, how to run effective meetings, how to set goals and objectives for team members, and extreme productivity. Just visit LeadX.org. All right, so let's dive in. If you're listening to this show, you've probably recently been promoted into management, or maybe you're still an individual contributor and you're just getting ready for that day to come, which is very smart. Be ready for the job that you want. Either way, it's great to consider what being a manager is all about. We need to get that clear. Because even though most organizations promote their high-achieving individual contributors into management, being a manager is in no way like a bigger, higher-paid version of whatever it is that you used to do. The job itself is different. So let's start with the basics. You know, what's the definition of a manager? What's the definition of management? Officially, a manager is a person responsible for controlling or administering a part of an organization, a department, a business unit, whatever. But that definition isn't very helpful these days. Most managers are basically held accountable for two things. First, business outcomes. You still need to focus on those cold, hard results. But the second thing managers need to do, you need to grow and keep your people. You need to retain your people. So these team members, the people who report to you, are often called direct reports or just directs. So you're going to hear me use that phrase, your directs. And on this theme about definition of management, the role of management, you know, a lot of people are wondering about, well, what's the difference between being a manager and a leader? You know, management, most people consider management, it's like allocating resources, monitoring budgets, controlling risk, all that kind of mundane stuff. The leadership part, a leader focuses more on having a big vision, how to motivate employees, maybe develop and share values. The truth is you need to do both. The lines between management and leadership are really blurred these days. I like to say you need to manage tasks and you need to lead your people. And in no way do I mean you need to micromanage people's tasks. It's really managing tasks related to your department or your function. Again, those budgets, things like that. And you need to lead your people. Now, recently, for an earlier episode of the LeadX show and for some LeadX training we were putting together, I reached out and I interviewed a great entrepreneur. He's the founder, co-founder, and CEO of FreshBooks, the online accounting company. His name's Mike McDermott. Now, McDermott has literally started this company in his parents' basement, and they stayed there for years. But today, they have over 300 employees with customers in over 100 different countries around the world. So he went from being a manager of nobody to a manager of a small team where now, if you count up like his, you know, what's called the downline, he's leading over 300 people. And his key points, well, the first was kind of funny. He said, you will fail. You know, as a first-time manager, get comfortable with making all kinds of mistakes. But he really paused and thought about it, and he came back to this same point. He said, you used to be promoted and rewarded and you got attention and attaboys and attagirls from what you personally got done in a given day. And that has changed. As a leader, it's not about how much you got done in a day. It's about how much your team got done in a given day. So we go back to that key point here. This is the point you got to anchor in your mind. As a manager, you're now going to be evaluated by the results of your team, the results you're getting through your team members, and two, your ability to grow and keep these same team members. Okay, so how do you make sure you get off to a strong start as a new manager? What should you do in your first 90 days going from being an individual contributor to a new manager? And actually, I think this is good advice. What should you do in the first 90 days anytime you take over a new team and have a new boss? So in your first 90 days, you're going to be drinking from a fire hose. So many people to meet, so much to learn, and so many fires to put out. But you have to use your first 90 days to build a foundation for your future success. If you wait 6 months later, 12 months later, it's too late. You're already going to be judged on your results or lack thereof. So your first 90 days are critical. You need to set yourself up for success with your boss, with your team members, and with yourself. So first, let's talk about how do you set yourself up for success with your manager, with your boss. The number one thing is you need to find out how you're going to be evaluated. How will you know if you're doing a good job or not? So for example, let's say you're a new manager for a sales team. Well, maybe the marketplace is just so competitive that your boss just expects you to maintain the status quo. You know, just keep results going like they always have been, and that's a win. But maybe you're replacing a bad manager and your boss thinks you need to be increasing market share by 50% or increasing sales by 50%. Or maybe it's not even about sales. You know, maybe it's not so much about the numbers, but your boss really wants you to open up a key account. You got to open up, you know, St. Peter's Hospital. You got to open up the Acme Bank or whatever it is. So to get clear on this, how are you going to be judged? You just have to have a direct conversation. You can ask your boss things like, how will you be measuring my performance? Or are there specific short-term and long-term goals you have for me? Or if you're a little more daring or you just have a really good relationship with your manager, you know, you could ask her something like, hey, let's imagine it's 1 year from now and you come in, you're high-fiving me because I've had such an amazing year. What would I have had to have done? What would I have accomplished for you to feel that way? And this is going to get not just like how are you going to be evaluated, but what great looks like. And when it comes to your manager, in addition to understanding how you're going to be evaluated, another critical thing is, what is your manager's communication style? Like both, what is it that they want to know about and what channels do they prefer? You know, do they want real-time updates via Slack all throughout the day or instant messenger or whatever? Or maybe they just want, at the end of the day, send me one email with what's going on. Or maybe they say, listen, I don't micromanage. When we get together once a week for our face-to-face, fill me in then. Pick up the phone if it's an emergency. There's no right or wrong answer here. It's just what is their preference? What is their style? And I can remember I once worked for a CEO who loved communicating via email. He ran this global company. I don't know how many people were there at the time, 300 people maybe, all via email. Now, this was my last company. So he was actually a strategic investor. So I was president of the company, founder of the company, but he was my number one investor and he was the CEO. Technically, I reported to him. And my office was in the same building, you know, down the hall. And when I first started, you know, I'd get into work, I'd walk by, he'd be in his office, his door's open. I'd say hello, good morning. I'd walk into my office, my door was open. But he never came in, he never saw me. And he would just send me emails, either simple questions, yes, no questions, or these issues that were going to be 20 back and forths. And at first I thought, maybe he didn't see me walk by his office. Maybe he doesn't know I'm here. Maybe he doesn't know my door is open and that he could just barge in. So I would get up from my desk, walk into his office, if his door was open, and I'd be like, oh, hey, I just got your email about the such and such. This is what's going on. And I would just answer. But then I realized when he would invite me in, he'd say, oh, come on in, sit down to talk. He would still keep his head down and he would type out emails to other people on his laptop while we were talking. Now, this horrified me at first. I'm the opposite of that. Like, if you were to come into my office, if I was working from the laptop, I would literally close the case. I would make eye contact. I would turn my chair so I'm facing you, you know, or come around from my desk so there's no power play going on. We'd sit at a side table. I'm all about like active listening, making you feel important and all the rest. But hey, this guy was my boss. And if his style is to communicate via email, then that's what I was going to do. So I stopped going into his office. I stopped asking for meetings through his assistant. I would just email on all the questions, all the issues, big and small. And it worked out fine. I mean, it was 5 years, built a great big company, sold it for a lot of money. It worked fine. But the key is, I mean, sure, like I encourage you to ask your new boss, hey, you know, how do you like to communicate? Are you an email person, a phone person, a text message? They might tell you. But they also just might be polite. And if I had asked this boss, like, oh, how do you like me to communicate? He probably would have said, whatever you want, just walk on in, you know, just come on in anytime. But his actions said something else. So ask your boss, but then see, you know, what is she doing? How is she reaching out to you? All right, so that sets you up for success with your boss. How are you going to be evaluated? And what is your manager's preferred communication style? Now, the second thing, in your first 90 days, you need to start building a genuine relationship with your direct reports. You want to build trust, which comes from building authentic relationships. When you have high trust, your team is going to feel more engaged in their work. They're going to be more innovative because they won't fear making small mistakes. They're not going to fear failure. And if they do make a mistake, they're going to bring it to your attention when it's a small problem and not when it's festered and become a big problem. Now, a lot of times new managers, you know, we want to make a big impact. We want to help everyone. We want to get respect and show people that we know, you know, what we're doing. So we charge in and we give everybody our great new ideas. We solve everyone else's problems. But instead, what we need to do is we need to take time to get to know people. Meet with them one-on-one, maybe go out, coffee, lunch, whatever. Try to learn about their families, their hobbies, their personal interests, their personal goals. What do they like to do in their free time? Let them get to know the real you. What is your leadership style? What do you like to do outside of work? Yes, you can talk about the work, but first seek to understand. You know, you want to lead a whole person, not just the work that they're touching, you know, 8 hours a day. What are they working on? How does it align with the goals of the organization? And what are their ideas for improving things? So the third and final thing in your first 90 days to set yourself up for success, take care of yourself. Like, what are the systems you're going to put into place to support yourself? Because there's always going to be more to do at the end of every day. You know, there's always going to be more to do, more than you can ever do. So you need to realize, how am I going to thrive over the long term? You're going to be successful over the long term, but that's going to involve lots of mistakes as well. How will you learn? How will you manage stress? Who can be part of your support system? I reached out to the CEO of the iconic travel company, Lonely Planet. I'm sure many of you have heard of Lonely Planet. And it was interesting. This billionaire bought Lonely Planet several years ago, and he put a first-time manager who was all of 24 years old, Daniel Houghton, in charge. Well, Daniel's been on the job for 5 years now as CEO. So I interviewed him to find out, like, what has he learned? He went from never having managed anyone to managing 300 people at Lonely Planet. You know, what was his advice for first-time managers? And he really hit on this third point, like, find mentors. You know, he says it's dangerous to be insulated. It's dangerous to not think outside of the box. And, you know, whether it's mentors, they don't all have to be, you know, in his case, fellow CEOs. He said it can be friends. It can be other people, people he can reach out to get their advice, to blow off steam with, but outside the organization, people, you know, that can help him. And he also said, you know, it was one of his failures, his first, I think he said 6 to 9 months. he was working 7 days a week. He was working 100 hours a week. I can relate to that. That's what I was doing in my 20s as well. And then he hit that wall and I don't know if he used the term burned out or if that was what I heard, but it was the same thing. He said he just got to a point where he was not very effective anymore. And he certainly wasn't efficient. He was running out of energy. And so now, you know, he found ways to rest, to recharge, to take time off on the weekends, to put his phone on mute or airplane mode or whatever, so that he's not constantly drawn to it. So that's it. Those are the three things. You're going to have a million other things that you think you need to do. You probably do need to do in your first 90 days, but you also need to take time to set yourself up for success. Meet with your new manager to discuss expectations and communication. Spend time getting to know your new team members on a personal level. And finally, don't forget to create a support network for yourself.